Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Dear friends, we all make promises. Whether it's very simple promises, when you promise to be there at a certain time, or when you make a pinky promise with a young child, or there are times that we make more serious promises. Like at our confirmations, when we promise to be faithful to God and to serve Him, or at your wedding, where you promise to be faithful to your spouse throughout your life. We all make promises. But why do we like to make promises? Why do we like it when people make promises to us? I think one reason that we like promises is because even though a person says they will do something for us, when they promise to do it, it brings us comfort. It brings us certainty that what that person promised will happen. And that's exactly what happens with God's promises. Because God gives us promises, it fills us with comfort. It gives us certainty. And the greatest promise that God has ever given was the promise of a Savior. And not only is this the greatest promise, it is also the source of greatest joy to all who know this. This was the source of joy for Zechariah, for he offered up a praise to God that we heard this morning in the gospel. And what Zechariah said, may that serve as an example for us as we praise God for his promises foretold and promises fulfilled. But even though the song that Zechariah sang is a good model for us, we see elsewhere in Scripture of Zechariah offering up words of doubt. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were very old, and they didn't have any children. They offered up prayers to God to have a child. And finally, one day, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and said, God has promised to give you a son. And not just any son. His son would be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. You would think Zechariah would be overfilled with joy. And yet he said to the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. These are words of doubt. Zechariah did not believe what the angel told him. Zechariah did not believe the promise that God had given to him. And therefore the angel said to him, I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words. And that's exactly what happened to Zechariah. For 9 months, he couldn't even mutter a single word until the day his son was born. On that day, the people were wondering what Zechariah would name his son. They were thinking he would give him a family name. But instead, Zechariah wrote, his name is John. The reason he named his son John was because the angel Gabriel told him to name him John. Zechariah was no longer acting in doubt, but he was acting in faith. And once he did that, God opened his mouth. And in response to seeing how God's promises foretold and were fulfilled, Zechariah offers up this song of praise. Now, do you see what happened in Zechariah's life happening in your life right now? Sure, none of us have seen an angel proclaiming a message to us from God, but we don't need an angel to appear to us. We have God's Word. Here in God's Word, God promises so many things to us. And yet we can doubt those promises, can't we? God has promised that whatever you pray for in His name will be given to you. But do you doubt that promise? Because the prayer that you offered to have more friends in school, or the prayer that you offered to have a solution to the problems in your marriage or in your family, or the prayer that you asked for a loved one to get better, and none of those prayers happened. God has promised that He is always here with us, that He is always here to guard us and to protect us. But do you doubt that promise because of bad things that have happened in your life, and it seems like God was not there with you, and it seems like God purposefully left you to be harmed? God has promised that when it comes to your salvation, it is finished, and you don't have to do a single thing but believe in Him. But do you doubt that promise because you think you are just too sinful that God could forgive you, or that you still have to do something in order to be saved? God promises so many things to us, and yet we struggle to believe them, and therefore we doubt. And to doubt God is to sin. And even this one single sin of doubt is enough to condemn us. For God has promised, He has said in His Word, that if you sin in just one place, you are guilty of breaking the whole law. But there is another promise that God has given to us, a promise full of grace and truth, and it's the promise of a Savior. This is why Zechariah said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets of long ago." Zechariah praises God that He has come and has redeemed His people. But how did Zechariah know that God would do this? It's because God foretold this promise and revealed it to His prophets. But did God have to reveal this promise to us? Did He have to foretell it? Could He have just sent His Son to be our Savior without even telling about us beforehand? He could have done that. But praise God for His promises foretold. There are many reasons that God foretold us about this promise. First of all, if God didn't tell us that a Savior would come, then everyone would be in complete despair because of their sins. But since God foretold this promise of a Savior, the people could be filled with hope and joy. Another reason that God foretold this promise was so that He could tell us exactly who our Savior would be. If God never detailed who the Savior would be, we would constantly be wondering who our Savior is. But there are hundreds of prophecies of the Savior found in the Old Testament. And just a few of those prophecies are this: the Savior had to come from the line of David. The Savior had to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. The Savior had to perform miracles. He would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He would have His hands and His feet pierced, and He would rise again in 3 days. There is only one person who has fulfilled each and every prophecy of the Savior, and that person is Jesus Christ. And finally, another reason why God foretold this promise of a Savior was so that we could praise Him. Just think about it. If God had messed up on just one prophecy about the Savior, then there would be no reason to praise Him, Because he would be a God who is unfaithful to his promises. He would be a God who would lie. But since each and every prophecy was fulfilled, God is worthy of us giving him all praise and honor. Praise God for his promises foretold, but also praise him for his promises fulfilled. Zechariah praised God by saying, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days." There are many things that this fulfilled promise gives to us. First, Zechariah mentions that we now have salvation from our enemies. But who are our enemies? Our greatest enemies are sin, death, and the devil. And from all of these enemies, Christ has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the enemy of sin, which includes not only our sins of doubt, but every sin that we have committed. He has redeemed us from sin by living a perfect life for us. He has redeemed us from the enemy of death. For by dying for us, death no longer has any victory. Instead, death is simply the path that leads to heaven. And Christ has redeemed us from the enemy of the devil. The devil is there not only to tempt us to sin against God, but he is always there to accuse us of sin before God. Satan is always there to say, "God, you can't forgive them. You can't love them. For you are a just God and you have to punish sinners." But that is where Christ steps in on our behalf. He intercedes for us and says, "Be gone, Satan. I have paid the punishment for their sins. I have died for them. I forgive them. I am their God, and they are my people." Praise God for his fulfilled promise, since he has redeemed us from our enemies. But why exactly would God do that for us? Why would he do that for us unworthy, rotten sinners? It's because Zechariah told us that God remembers his holy covenant that he made with Abraham, the covenant that he swore with an oath. When God made that covenant with Abraham, it was completely one-sided. God did not demand a single thing from Abraham before he established this covenant. This covenant was established purely by grace, and it was established with an oath. God swore by himself that his promise would be fulfilled. And what God promises happens. And therefore, we can know that whatever promise that God has sworn to us, whether it's the promise to listen to our prayers, the promise to always be there for us, or the promise of our salvation, will be fulfilled. And praise God for that. And since God's promise of a Savior was fulfilled, Zechariah told us that God has enabled us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Considering just how sinful we are, considering how many sins that we commit, and considering how even our good deeds are like filthy rags, we should be in complete and utter fear before God. But we don't have to be afraid. For since Christ fulfilled every promise in Scripture, Scripture tells us that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Praise God for his promises fulfilled, that he has made you holy and righteous in his sight, so that you may serve him all your days. And not just your days here on earth, but also all your days in eternity. There in heaven we will forever be holy and righteous in his sight. And how can you know that is true? It's because God promises it. God foretold the promise of a Savior who would accomplish all this for us. And on Christmas, that promise was fulfilled. And yet there's still one more promise that we are waiting to be fulfilled. God has foretold us that our promised Savior would come again to take us to heaven. And one day, that promise will be fulfilled. For everything that God promises comes true. And praise God for that. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.